I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Ready. A goalie stones you cold all night.
Ready.
All of a sudden you catch a pass on the tape.
Fire.
And you turn the stone wall into a sieve. NHL 94 for Sega Genesis and Super NES. One-timers, cold streaks, oh yeah, hot streaks. If it's in the game, EA Sports.
It's in the game.
Howdy, y'all. Welcome back to Play Retro. It's a really cool show, and we're glad that you're freaking here. So sit back and relax and enjoy it. I'm Scott Johnson, one of your hosts, and I'm the guy that gets called for icing 12 times a game.
Yes, and I am your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I'm about to make Wayne Gretzky's head bleed.
Ah.
Oh, wait. Is that too much?
No, I thought you said Wang Gretzky.
Wang Gretzky's head bleed. That means something totally different, Scott.
That would be his name in the Mutant League Hockey,
the adult version of NHL 94.
Yeah, if they ever made it. Mutant League Hockey had a bunch of fake names on. I liked it a lot. It was pretty fun. Yeah,
that's true.
And I'm sure wasn't Wang Gretzky, but it was something like that. It was like Fang Gretzky or something dumb. You know how
it'd have to be that, right?
Yeah, you know how the Simpsons would end their Halloween episodes, or even their intro credits would be all the regular people's producers' names and stuff, but they would swap out their names for something scary or Halloween-y. It's like that. They would do that in that game, which I played a little bit today just so I could get, you know, an old taste for an old thing, because what we're going to talk about is somewhat related. Yeah. We'll get to all that in a second, but before we do...
How'd you play it?
Look at this, you guys. Let me show you this. So I got me this... here, I'll put it on camera. And for people at home, I'll describe it. This is the Ambernic... What's the model? I always forget.
RG552.
There it is. RG552. It's about the size of a Nintendo Switch, a little thicker. And screen's a little bigger.
Thing is thick.
It's a bigger screen compared to the Switch Lite, but I think it might be a tad smaller, but not by much, of the regular Switch. Anyway, two joysticks, a D-pad, your four usual buttons, A, B, Y, and Z, and then, of course, two sets of shoulder buttons on the back. And this is their latest.
I'm going to need somebody to take that little spiel you just gave and like auto-tune it into some kind of rap tune.
Do it. Make it happen.
That's
I'm here for
good.
It. Yeah. Look, I've already got the back music for it. Just kidding. I'm not doing it. Anyway, so this is it. And I've been very happy with this so far. It came, you know, both Brian and I were going to pick one up and do some comparison and stuff. And we're still sort of early in that process. But I'm very happy with this. And part of the reason I'm happy with it is I flashed it. And I don't mean I showed it my wiener. I showed it my Wayne Gretzky. I didn't do that. I took this device and found a really good source for this. A programmer guy, retro head guy who's super into this stuff, had a pre-built shell script that you could do for a bunch of settings things, as well as a ready to flash to a SD card package that had everything I needed to make it better. And by better, I mean just better interfaces, more choices, better use of the retro stuff or the retro arch stuff that's built into the thing. Just the way the buttons function. For example, one of the weirdest things about this device is it has a reset button on the bottom, and it's less than a half an inch away from the function button. Now,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but sometimes you want to hit that function button real quick and do a save or do a back out or do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah.
Many functions that you can assign to that. But that reset button is right frickin' there, and that resets the entire device. Good. It's bad. It's very bad placement.
I've hit it just from picking the console up because, you know, it's like a phone. If for those listening, it's about the size of what maybe an iPhone XR or something like that. It's like a large phone essentially.
Yeah, so
you want to pick it up by its sides, but the reset button is right where I would usually put my hand. So I've done that more than once.
Oh yeah, yeah. You got to be careful. And they have it inset, so you're supposed to kind of feel it before you push it. But my big complaint was that it's just a terrible place to place anything, and I can't believe they did that. So part of what this package that I flashed the card with does...
I can't get out of that.
I know, it's impossible. It's impossible. But what part of what it does to this device is it gets rid of that function button as a user. They just say, hey, forget you even have it. Use the select button instead. So
Perfect. That's what I would think, because the select button would make a much better function button.
Yeah, absolutely it would. So if you want to exit a game, instead of me hitting function down here on the bottom and being careful not to hit reset and then hitting whatever combination, I think it was the R trigger, instead of doing that, or the start button actually restarts, now it's just the select button over where your thumbs already are, hit it, tap it twice, and you're out. Like things that, just taken care of in the way that this build this build is.
I think by default, my RetroArch is set to do select as the function button. And then you would hit like select and start to reset the game. And that's, so I'm with you. Yeah, that's a little bit discerning.
Yeah.
Because where it's at.
Yeah, I didn't love that. But now I don't use it at all. In fact, I don't think it does anything. Let me test it. Yeah, the function button does nothing now.
Right.
So they just remapped it. Yeah, go ahead.
Now the trick about this one is, the reason why we went with this one, well, first of all, the Ain Odin is out, but unless you ordered it last year, you're not getting it anytime soon. This one was available. I ordered it directly from the Anbernic store, and they distribute in California in the U.S. So they drop them off there, and then if they have them in stock, you order them if you're in the U.S., and it sends them there. They have a warehouse in the U.K. and China and other places, too. But anyway... took about 7 days to get here through UPS, and since California, live in South Carolina. Scott, you ordered yours off Amazon. It didn't take nearly as long, right?
Next day. Got it the very next
day. Next day, see? Yep. See, so they warehouse it at Amazon as well. But I just wanted to see how long it would take. I was curious. But what I wanted to really do was, I noticed that on the official site, I was supposed to be able to order it without the ROM disk. So it comes with two discs. Or little SD cards. The SD card on the left-hand side boots up Linux, and that's the one that you flashed. And then there's a ROMs card. It's like a 64 gigabyte card. I didn't want all the ROMs. I have my own ROMs. Thanks anyway.
Yeah.
But it was out of stock with the non-ROMs. And I'm
I didn't know they even had the option. Mine was just like, get it with the ROMs that are in there. Sorry, that's the reason.
Yeah, they had the option at their web store. So I was like, cool. That way I'm not shipping, you know, ROMs across the country. And I'm like, And I'm like, how hard is it to fix that? Just take it out.
Yeah, it's no big deal. I don't know why they – I mean, whatever.
Inject that thing.
They don't care about that stuff. I can tell you,
they don't
though,
care.
Like,
it's out of China.
The way it works, you got these two little slots so that people can see this, okay? These two little SD micros, which, by the way, are the worst designed things in the history of the planet, and here's why. I understand technology and devices, we get smaller, more compact all the time. It's great.
Right.
I can't believe we can fit 256 gigabytes on a tiny little wafer-thin thing that small. But regular SDs, they're not that big.
Yeah.
They would have been fine
forever.
But instead, we're like, no, we got to go micro. And then now there's nano or whatever. There's like even smaller ones.
Yeah.
And I understand phones have pushed this. I get why we're there.
Yeah.
I get why we're where we're at. But the main point for me is, if I pop one of these out and I just sit it right here for a second.
Yeah.
And then I accidentally go with my nose, that thing's way over there somewhere. Or the dog ate it. Or I will never find it again. It's in my clothes. Who knows where it is? It's too light and small.
Yeah.
And
this isn't the fault of the card, because all the cards I buy usually come with the SD size adapter. So the developer, as thick as this thing is, this thing's pretty thick. And of course, I didn't design this or anything, but just visually looking at it, I'm like, yeah, they could have fit a regular size SD card in there.
100% they could have.
Easier.
No reason they couldn't. I understand it's now a standard. Right. It's fine. The USB data cable and the USB power cable are both USB-C, so that's
nice. Next to each other.
Yeah, they're right next to each other, and that's fine. They're labeled fine, so I kind of know what to do there.
Yeah. Oh,
go ahead.
Did you use the micro HDMI to output?
I haven't used that yet. Nope, not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done any of that. I'm sure. I assume that works fine. Probably works great, right?
Yeah, I did the other day. It worked fine. However, on the Linux side, unmodified, you've modified yours. I couldn't get it to output the audio over HDMI, even though there's settings, clear instructions on how to do it. I followed all the instructions. I never could get the audio to come out. So I had to plug up a second card to do that. Oh, look at you. You're playing something pretty cool.
Yeah. This, Street Fighter 3 Second Strike, I think is,
look at that.
A great arcade game. And it looks amazing. Performs really well. This device is capable of handling up to like PlayStation 2 GameCube era type stuff. And it seems to do that pretty well. Oh, I should mention it's a dual boot device, so you can boot into Android. Emulation stuff just works better on the Android platform. Some of it doesn't.
Right.
Here's my big complaint. I only really have one major complaint, Brian, and here it is. Are you ready for my giant complaint?
Big complaint.
Big complaint incoming, everybody. Watch out. Sit down and hold on to something. Here's my complaint. In order to boot this into Android, I have to take out the memory card on the left that holds the operating system and stuff for the Linux side, which is where I'm 90% of the time going to be anyway. So it's not a problem normally. But if I want to boot into the freaking Android side, I got to pop that out. Put it somewhere real safe someplace so it doesn't boot to that. There should be a way to like hold down a button and say, which one are you booting into? Like any dual boot. Everybody's got dual boots.
Good news there. They've talked about, I've read the forums and things, and I have seen some talk about them doing a firmware update. This unit is still very new. It only came out like in December of 2021. Yeah. It started shipping at the end of January.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's talk of releasing a firmware with the ability to do just that, because I'm with you, because I'll eject that little Linux card. I'm like, and I'll drop it every time. And I'm just like, I just wanted to go into Android.
Yeah, I just want to dual boot, like a proper dual boot of any other machine. Yeah. If you do it on a computer, you hold down a key. If you do it on a Mac, you hold down a key. If you do it on here, you take a card out. Come on now. So it's really annoying.
Hey, send us an email at playretroshow@gmail.com if you'd like to hear us do a deep dive on an Amber Nick RG552.
Yeah.
Maybe a YouTube video.
Maybe we could do some kind of combo thing. I really like it though. Overall, very happy with this thing. I've spent a lot of time in bed playing a lot of old games that I used to love. And it's the battery life's amazing. I should have mentioned that. Really long, great battery life. And the screen might be better. Well, I know it's better than my Switch. It's a really nice screen. That shocked me. I thought, well, this will be okay. This is a nice, nice screen. So anyway. Yeah,
it is. It's heavy. Happy. And the biggest selling point for me with this one, as opposed to any of the other ones I was looking at, a little faster processor than the others that are out there in the same area. Yep. And it has a touchscreen. I want to play more touchscreen games. I want to do some emulation there, so I needed that.
Look at you! Look at you trying to get your DS life back.
That's right.
Order.
I'm trying to get my DS. I want to get some. We haven't given hardly any love yet on Play Retro all the way episode 8
I'll give you a little. Here it is. You ready? The best game ever made for that device. You ready? I'm going to shock everybody here.
Give it to me.
Tetris DS is amazing.
Oh,
and it's the best Tetris game ever made. It's better than any Tetris to come before it or after. And good news, you can emulate that game without touch because the game didn't need it in the first place. You can just choose from a menu and it works fine. That game rocks. It's so good. So good. Best version of Tetris ever made. Okay, you play it this week and you come back to me and you let me know what you think.
But first, I got to flash my disc on my Amber Nick. All right.
You're going to flash it with your Wayne Gretzky.
My Wayne Gretzky.
That's right. I also played a ton of Bomberman on this thing. I've become a little obsessed with Bomberman right now. We're going to have to do a whole episode on the history of Bomberman soon. I don't know when, but I love Bomberman, so I've been playing
Maybe episode 9. We'll see. We haven't gotten to the bottom parts of our notes yet.
I haven't decided. Tell me how your second TV is going. So another guy showed up in a van. pulled out a TV, said, hey, you want this TV? And you bought it. And then now what's going on with this TV?
This one turned out a lot better. We bought another TV off Facebook Marketplace, and this one's a 27-inch Sharp. The important part is it's flat screen as well. They were trying to mimic the Sony, and so they made a little heavier build. Things like 100 pounds. That's no exaggeration. That's how heavy these things were back in the day.
They were big.
It has S-video and component inputs. Ooh. I am currently running my Wii on it through the component cable. Mm-hmm. And I would like to run some other things, such as my Sega Genesis. I would like to run it through component, but I've got to figure out if I am ready to take the dive for our retro tink. Retro tink will allow me to upscale several different game consoles to component.
Yeah.
So
upscaling's
I've got
nice.
To figure out.
It's got to be good upscaling, though. You can't do cheap upscaling. It's got to, you know.
And that's a problem. I've seen a lot of cheap upscaling, and this is the way to go, apparently, because the RetroTINK, $300 for this little device.
Oh,
and I'm like,
geez.
You got
some sugar daddy out there. He'll take care of it. Don't worry.
If you have an extra one laying around, oh, my God, absolutely. But, yeah, I'm still debating on it.
Yeah, well, keep that debate alive. I'm looking at some of these Sharp CRTs. They are monsters, man. These are
Now mine looks like that CRT you saw. Let me see. Do I have the number on it? I'll get the number real quick. But anyway, yeah, the one I have is looks just like a Wega. You remember the Wegas, the with the silver and I'll tell you something else too. You may have forgotten this, Scott. Mm. You may have forgotten that when we first started moving into the realm of cheap TVs, mm-hmm. that the screens all started looking better, but they just gave up on the sound. That's the reason why we started having sound bars. Man, little Sharp TV with all that extra space back there. There it is. No, that's the Sony. That looks a lot like
the one you got. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a model 27F541.
Nice.
And it is a 27-inch TV made in 2005. And like I said, it looked like that Sony that you just had up. This is definitely Sharp's attempt to try to mimic the Sony.
Yeah,
and
the Trinitron stuff was cool because it was more flat. They were less bulbous, you know?
Yeah, and they're by far superior. But this Sharp, for the price, $25, somebody met me in a nice place. And they drove.
Okay, so
car. Yeah. They were at work, so they taking their lunch break, and it was a different world.
It wasn't like Craig and his list again or anything.
No.
All right, that's cool.
But yeah, do you remember how crappy the sound was when you first started getting into these flat screens?
Oh, they're terrible. That's why I bought horrible tower. They were tower speakers at the time because that was kind of the way to go. Now it's bars, but at the time you buy these towers, I bought a couple of Sony or Toshiba towers to make up for the tinny garbage speakers that were in that TV.
Why even include speakers with TVs at this point?
I don't know why they do it now. I've got this this OLED freaking LG that I got a year and a half ago that is beautiful. The display is insane, but the sound is garbage. Like, you have to get a sound bar with it. I don't even know why they bother. I guess they have to have some sound included of some sort, but
I guess so. Probably for testing purposes or somebody who's just like absolutely must.
Yeah, but we're there again.
TV with
We're there again though. We're back to having to have the extra stuff. So it is like 1997 all over again. We're living
It's like 1997 all over. 1994 all over again.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Well, 97's when I had my, let's see, what did I have then? I had a Panasonic that was okay. It weighed a lot though. So much weight. I was really glad to get rid of it because it was so heavy. Now I wish I had it for this reason, but what are you going to do? You never hold on to your old stuff as long as you think you're going to. One thing I would say about the new Odin, which you're right about its back order status, it's going to be impossible for people to get these for a while. First of all, I'm surprised they didn't overfund more. They ended up at 2,300,000. I thought they'd go higher, but I really like their trigger setup.
That's the one. That's the biggest disappointment for me for the other one is not having the triggers. They're not stacked. They're like next to each other.
Yeah.
So you had to kind of like,
Which is pretty crazy. The other thing that's interesting about it is it will also support Windows. So they'll be able to run, relatively newish games on there. So you can run The Witcher or, Control or whatever. So there's a lot of reasons to be interested in that device. I'm interested to see when that thing becomes more available, but I want to hear reviews first and that sort of thing. This thing's just a freaking truck. It's just like a beast. Yeah. It's like, hey, you want a truck? It's got buttons on it. Here you go. Meep, meep. Or more like, burp, burp.
That's a weird truck. What truck is that?
It's my Ambernic four-wheel drive F-150. Look out.
Fiat.
It's coming. Yeah, Fiat. Anyway, so that's where that's at. That's where your TVs are at. We got all kinds of stuff happening, and we'll bring you more information as we go. But now we got to talk about our hot topic of the week.
Shall we play a game?
All right. Brian's been holding the cartridge up, the case. That looks newish. How old is that?
Like, doesn't it look so nice?
Yeah, it's really taken care of. I'm surprised.
That's original stuff. Brian sent me this as well as that Model 1 Sega Genesis. He sent me several sports games, and I was so excited because we I think our initial conversation was about NHL 94.
Yep.
And this is the limited edition.
Oh, is it?
First round.
Oh,
first
look at
round
that.
Limited edition. Look
and
at
the
that.
Case is just in great shape. Mine were all beat
it's
up.
It's in great shape. Look, yeah. Look at all this trash in here, man. He's kept everything. Brian's my hero.
Yeah.
It's not me, Brian. Another Brian.
All the Brian's.
It's got the big, thick book in there.
Yeah.
It's got, I can order stuff. I'm sure that's available. That's
yeah, that's still that. Available.
Yeah, that's four-way play. I need to order that. I got it so we can all play together.
I had one of those.
Some sportswear. I get that.
I had those stupid four-way splitters. Gosh,
you had
it.
To yeah. If you were going to play. And then I got this giant poster. Yep. Look at that.
Yeah, look at
that. Upside down. No, that's right way up.
That's sexy hot. Here's the look that's that. Crazy. That's mint condition, basically. Here's the funny thing. I guess not mint, or it wouldn't be open, but
it's
close to mint, like 9 out of 10. I had all that. I had that game. I had that version. I had all that extra stuff. I had that reminder that manuals used to tell you everything. I don't know if you tried to play it like a fighting game lately. None of those games tell you what the shit to do. The new ones do, but games from that era, they don't. And I'm always like, wait, why is there like no training or tutorial or list of moves in here? And then I'm like, oh, right. They used to come with a book. There was
That's
a whole
right,
book in
a
there.
A big, giant book.
Yep. That would tell you what Sub-Zero could or couldn't do. Anyway, the point is NHL 94. This is a sports game, obviously. We're talking about hockey here. And you might go, I don't care about sports games. We don't really either. But this game was massively influential and to this day is a cornerstone of what people think of video game sports games. And we're going to get into why and why it's such a big deal and why I, at the ripe age of 23 years old, played that game till 4 a.m. every day. Like I couldn't get enough of any NHL 94. Me and my brother-in-law, we would get together and it's all we would do.
Yes.
For hours and hours and hours is play against each other in NHL 94. And we weren't doing it in 93 and we didn't do it with 95. In fact, in 96, 97 and 98, even though there were new games out, we still would pull the old cartridge out and play 94 because it was the singular title of that generation. I've had some people this week argue with me, though, and say, look, 96 is as good in every way that 94 is with even a couple of better things. Some of it's some graphic bump and some other stuff, but I still say 94 is the GOAT. Now, before we get into all this, I just want to say, I know that this game is available as that commercial stated by the guy who does the EA games. It's in the game or whatever, EA Sports. That's that guy doing that whole commercial. Here he is again.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's play a little bit of him.
Genesis and Super NES.
That's that guy.
Yeah.
Even though this thing was, you know, marketed as being available for the Genesis and the Super Nintendo entertainment system, it was not the same game. It wasn't even the same developers. This was a game made in tandem by other people for a different machine. And in the end, the superior version, by all accounts, mine included, and I played both, had both, bought both, owned them both, is the Sega Genesis version, or by extension, the Sega CD version.
Okay, I've got to stop you there.
Yeah, go.
I've been doing a deep dive on this game. I didn't play a lot of NHL 94 back in the day. I didn't own the cart, but my friend owned the cart, and we played it a lot when I was at his house.
Yeah.
But I have been on the forums. There is a huge community following around the NHL 94 tournaments and everything, even to this day, almost 30 years later.
Yep.
Now, you say there's no question, Genesis hands down. I would say primarily yes, but there are some.
Well, there's always going to be some. Some people,
who absolutely disagree and will say the SNES, I played both. I played both this week just so I could get a taste. And I felt like I was scoring easier on the SNES.
You were, because it's an easier game. You're right. It is an easier game.
But I don't know. I didn't. Okay, so let me put it this way. The settings on the initial screen, I looked at both. They look similar, but there's the settings are different when you start. So I just tried to use the default settings when I started, and it was different. So I'm not sure if it was a little easier because of that. I really need to do a deep dive to really say definitively that the Genesis is the champ. Well, I'm going to defend those people out there.
You like to do that. It's okay. Most of the time, people are with you. Like, hey, if you're going to compare two versions of a third-party game, oftentimes the SNES would get the better of the two. That is not disputed. That is often true. However, this is a case where the opposite is true. And the main reason is not in all ways. Like, the music, the sound, the effects, the menus, and to some degree the graphics, although there's some argument to be made for the faster Genesis graphics. But for, the fidelity in general, you could argue the SNES has it beat there. But for some reason, whatever that intangible, magical gameplay element is that made the difference
I think is way more present. Just right off the top, I can tell you from the hardware standpoint that Sega Genesis had a faster CPU, which is really important because we have a lot of AI interactivity going on in the game itself. Your opponents have to be thinking about the next move because this is going really fast. The SNES has a better graphics chip, but a slower CPU. So I think rendering wise, you may see a little better on the SNES, but I do think that the Genesis version would be faster and would be more responsive.
Yeah, you don't have the same level of detail in the Genesis version. There's more color in the SNES version.
Pictures of the players in the
Had these little pixelated scans and stuff. It was pretty cool. So it definitely had some of those advantages, like it always does. The SNES often had these advantages, and they're not that. It's not that those aren't apparent here. Chat room, right now you're looking at the SNES version of the game, and now you're looking
at game is about
the
speed,
Genesis
right,
version.
Scott?
Yeah, it is about speed, and as much as I like the color of the ice on the SNES better. I like the color of the uniforms and the characters, and just the way they look is better. It's chunkier and weirder looking, and it's kind of blue. The ice is kind of a green blue in the Genesis version.
How many pages and threads I had to go through listening to people argue about the color of the ice?
Oh, no, all the time.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
It's the color of the ice.
But these games were not made by the same people at the same time. And because of that, these differences are pretty pronounced. And it turns out a lot of games are like that from that era. I start to look at them now, and I'm like, oh, man, this is... We always knew there was a difference, but we always thought, oh, well, the code is slightly different. No, it's like different people made this.
Yeah, and so Mark Lesser was in charge of this particular one we're looking at right now. I think it's on the Genesis
version.
And this guy is a freaking genius. Mm-hmm. He's done. You wouldn't believe this guy. Did you know this guy? When he was working at Rockwell International, he got under contract with Mattel to turn a calculator into a Mattel auto race. But that's not very interesting. What's really interesting is that guy made the Mattel football game that we all played.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that game, everyone had that thing. That thing was like a staple. You would hide it in your backpack and bring it to school.
You
sound
amazing. Like you already knew that information. I didn't know it. It blew my mind.
I didn't know he made it. I just knew that was like the popular thing. That's really cool.
He made the very first handheld game.
And it happened to be sports, which was interesting. So, okay. My goal here is not to reignite some old Sega Nintendo, back and forth. But when people say we're going to have a tournament, they're talking about the Genesis version. That's the game they're going to play because that game has the gameplay elements, the mix of speed and reliability, for lack of a better term, in the controls scheme that they're asking about. There's a kind of a, what's the word? It's like, when something's kind of industrially built, it's like,
like solid.
A solid thing that's got steel struts and it's just built to handle the storm and that sort of thing. And then you got flimsy, cheaper stuff that the, you know, contractor went cheap on.
Yeah, it works.
Rugged, whatever. You know. There's a rugged quality to NHL 94 and the Genesis where it feels a little more dainty and flighty on the SNES. For lack of a better way of putting it, it's very hard to describe right. because there's some opposite examples that work the other way 100%, and a lot of the time in Nintendo's favor. But in this case, this is the one. And the one that's even better than this one, if for my money, was the Sega CD version of NHL 94. Yes. Because
that's
that
no
game
argument there.
Had real yes. crowd noises, real organ music, real sounds, real everything. The graphics were identical with the exception of some cool crowd effects. But for the most part, same exact game.
Yeah.
But had this immersive sound stuff that I freaking loved. And I've been killing myself all week trying to get that ROM to work, and it doesn't. I can't get that ISO to work at all.
Oh, so, no, really?
I don't. It's probably just me, and I'm doing something wrong because I'm done with this stuff. But I owned that game 4 times. I owned it on a Game Gear. Maybe it was Game Boy.
Yeah, yeah. It came out. It was on the Game Gear, correct.
I think I owned a Game Gear version. I owned the Genesis version. I owned the Sega CD version. And I owned the SNES version when I got my SNES back in the day. So I had everything you could possibly get around this game. I've never done that with a sports game ever. Yeah. Ever since
that's
before.
The thing.
Ever.
That's the reason why we decided to do this game, because this is not your typical sports game. This is a good game overall. Period. You don't have to be a hockey fan to appreciate the fluidness of this back and forth action that's going on in hockey. And you don't have to know the rules. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am not a huge hockey fan. I do have a Carolina Hurricanes jersey on right now.
Yeah.
But I've only briefly saw a couple of hockey games, and I've only been around friends who are watching it die hard, and I don't know all the rules. So I immediately turn the penalties off whenever I play this game, by the way, because I have no idea. I mean, it's like, if I get one more icing penalty, I'm just going to scream. I think you still get it even when you turn the penalties off. Anyway.
Sure.
So I guess it's not technically a penalty. I'm sure it's something else. I'm sure you'll explain. I'm sure you're right to play retroshow@gmail.com and tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah, tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah. Anywho, I really enjoyed this game thoroughly. And you know what I love more? This may be telling about who I am, but I used to love playing against my friends, but I never wanted to beat my friends. I just enjoyed frustrating my friends when they think they're really good, because it's so much fun to watch a friend who is very serious about this game. And there's some serious people, man.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some serious people.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch them freak out. That was my game. My game was watching them freak out. I would never get better, because then that would actually make them feel like they were accomplishing something by beating me.
Yeah. No,
I would just suck and then occasionally beat them out of pure luck. And that's totally frustrating.
Yeah. I feel you. There's two games, though, in this area that benefited directly from 94, and I think they did it the best. So I'm just going to call these out early. We'll get into more of it in a minute. But
did it the best.
And ESPN NHL 2K5, which was on the Dreamcast? Where was that? Yeah, I think so. Dreamcast. And maybe other places
sounds
after
right.
that. But the Dreamcast had the first version, because 2K Games was doing everything on there. And that game felt like NHL 94, but moderned up and looked super pretty, but it felt like that original game. And that's the moment I knew, like, oh, okay, well, now we're all going to be like that, and that's good. The other one was NHL Blitz 2003,
that's
which was basically, it's, you know, Midway, they make like the, you know, they make NBA Jam, they make NFL Hits, or no, I'm sorry, it's NHL Hits 2003, it's NFL Blitz was the football game that was in the arcades. Anyway,
I'm going to call you an NFL Ditz.
Go ahead. You can call me that. That's no problem at all. Still has a Z in it. And that's what happens here in Utah. Everything has a Z. We got the Jazz, the Blizz, the Grizzlies, all our teams have 2 Z's in them. That's how it works here. The Buzz, B-U-Z-Z, we have them all. Anyway, those games are like direct descendants, even though like Hits is very sort of arcadey and in the direction of like lots of body slams, 3-on-3. It's ridiculous and over the top. Still an amazing game. GameCube version was the one to have. And games like 2K, 2K5 was definitely a game that was trying to be more serious and simish, but it just felt like 94. So, leading into the next decade, I was like, sweet, these games feel like my favorite sports game. And so this is a good sign. It would come and it would go and it would ebb and it would flow. And even today, ironically, if you go buy a brand new one, which I did to make a comparison this week, the things I did for today's episode, Brian, you would be shocked.
Oh, you just have no idea.
I grabbed a copy. It was on sale. But I grabbed a copy of NHL 22.
Wow. Now the 22, that's like this year, yeah,
it's
right?
This year. Picked it up. It's a EA game. It was on sale during the Super Bowl weekend because they were selling, they were, they'd marked down a bunch of sports games for the Super Bowl. And that was one of them. So it was 30 instead of its normal 60 or whatever. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to grab it. And I grabbed it. And sure enough, the thing they've been doing for years now, and they're still doing it today, when you go into the game and you start setting up your initial stuff, like how hard do you want the game to be, or what are your graphic settings, or make sure the screen's centered, all your little setup-y things you do in modern console games now, one of the options is pick your preferred control method. And one of them is super simmy, both sticks. One of the sticks controls your actual stick, blah, blah, blah. They've had that for years. It's called skill stick, I think is the control method. Anyway, then okay. There's another one that's called hybrid, which is like a combination of like different play styles. And then the third one is called what, Brian? It's called NHL 94. It's literally called that. It's called name of the game from 1994 in a game made in 2022.
Does it disable all your other buttons and you just got three Sega buttons?
I mean, basically you have...
And a D-pad?
You have, you can use your analog stick, of course.
Okay.
But for movement. And that's better in a hockey game, I believe, because you're skating. It makes more sense. Things are much more fluid. Yeah. We're in a new engine, you know, it's different. But and on the Amernick, it also plays with the analog if you want to. But anyway, it lets you choose that. So your one shots work the same. You're passing with one button, what's the high pass called? Whatever it is where you can kind of lob the puck up over their heads.
Oh, I was talking about. And the audience does too, but I can't call it.
I can't remember. Anyway, and the third one is just a regular pass or shot or whatever I didn't say.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, you really just need the three buttons. It does use others if you want to kind of mimic or do things that you would normally use one of those buttons for. So on defense, instead of body checking with C, I'm body checking with like a shoulder button. But you can also still body check with C. It's just that you can play it that way if you want.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Because, if you
lob pass, there you go. That's it.
Yeah. If you spend close to 30 years, learning that method, then why would you want to, give me the NHL 94.
And the new one, if you're really good at the stick thing, it's supposed to be really cool, the skill stick, but right. I just cannot get my brain memory to do it. So I just play the 94. The fact that it's there.
Is it like a golf or something where you have to like flick it? It's like you're flicking the stick.
Oh yeah. Lots of that stuff. It's very, very, I know. It's again, very cool and innovative for where things headed. So I don't blame it. It's good. But what I want to do is just get in and whack that shit,
I want to get in and whack that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
So this thing lets me move analog, but buttons for everything else. And they literally call it NHL 94 control scheme and put a little copyright symbol up next to it as if they need to. I don't know why they need to. It's theirs. Anyway, that's how much they love it. They love it so much they sell it for $10. Or if you have Game Pass and EA Play, it's just included. You can just download that thing now and play the old game on a modern console. And guess what else is cool about that, Brian, that I learned?
Because you can play it on your TV?
Yeah, but guess what else? Not even that. Guess what else?
What else?
You download that and you play it, and you fire it up, and you say, all right, here we go. This looks like 94, and the music sounds just like this. Here, I'll play a bit of it. All right. So we get this cheeseball Genesis music and everything. Oh, and by the way, even EA knows the Genesis version is the better one because they don't even include. You can't buy the SNES version. It doesn't exist for them.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, they're the only one you can buy today for $10 and play on any modern device or have with EA Play is the Genesis version. Anyway, that war's over. It doesn't matter. So this plays and you're like, yeah, dude. And you fire it up and then you're like, well, wait. My team back then was the Red Wings, but these days I like the Golden Knights because I live close to Vegas. They're my team.
Right.
That's lame. I don't want to play this if I don't have my team. And then suddenly you realize they updated the rosters in this old ass game.
Yes.
So then the Golden Knights are there. Your Carolina Whatsets are there. They're all there.
Hurricanes.
Yeah.
I like that. That's how we play. That's how we pull for our teams. I like, I like to pull for the teams that are the closest to me.
It's proximity.
Like, geographically, which location is the closest to me?
Yeah.
I'm pulling for those
With
guys.
Basketball, it's the Jazz for me because I live in Utah. But if if I didn't, it'd probably be Denver or, you know, the Nuggets, or it'd be the Suns, or it'd be somebody like that, like it is for football. Well, that's not true. I like Green Bay, and they're way far away, so I don't know why.
You might just turn on that red on-air light and tell me if you already said. So are all the players updated as well?
Because
you said the teams are updated for the NHL.
Yep, players and teams and everything. Right? All of it. The whole thing's been updated. They basically updated the rosters. Their new rosters, any new teams that weren't there before, any teams that have been sold or moved or just, you know, if they're gone even, they're not in there anymore. I don't know if there's any kind of all-star mode or any of that, but because I didn't play with it. But yeah, there were the Golden Knights who've only been there for, what, 3 years or something? Something like that. And it's awesome. So anyway, I think that puts the Nintendo Sega thing to bed, right? That's the version that's available. It puts it to bed.
Once again, some people, the war will never be over. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I think by majority rule, the Sega Genesis version of NHL 94 absolutely is the best NHL 94. Okay, maybe just the most popular.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Either way.
Now, listen to the differences. I want to show you some differences. This is the... So, I played this a bit. I'll play a little more. Okay, so this is Genesis, right?
Yeah.
Now, listen to the SNES intro and how different it is. Because that's how things start. There is no EA games. It's in the, they don't do that. I don't know why they don't. They did later, but they didn't hear in this. This Nintendo one, here's the difference. And it does sound better. Listen to this. Totally different song, though.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
All right, so you got your voice chip. Actual sound of pucks. Here it is.
Oh, listen to the depth of that.
I mean, they were going full MIDI here. But it's a totally different
song.
That's
okay. You can do that, because you know why? Sega's about to pull out that Sega CD. It's going to bring in the actual organist of the greatest NHL hits.
Oh,
so
I forgot to do that.
Each team can have their own versions.
I was going to pull that
their
out.
Home song.
I'm glad you said that. Sega CD, NHL 94. Let's just hear the intro. I forgot what it's like. Here we go. All right. Get some volume here. All right.
It's full motion video.
So hold on. This guy's taking forever. He has a dumb intro. I hate you.
Yeah, there's
intros.
A full motion video in the intro of this game.
Oh, hell yeah. All right. Sonic standing next to the thing. Oh, listen to that. Yeah. Still.
Sega.
So I just don't remember what they did for music. They may have gone full on out for CD music, but I don't remember.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Okay, that's weird.
Oh, that is weird.
All right, here we go.
That could be their processing they're doing, emulation.
It very well could be, but I doubt it. I think it really was weird. Okay, here we go.
Oh,
they used the Super Nintendo music. That's funny. I mean, they got the full motion video intro, like you said. But they use the SNES music, and it may be better. You know, it might be actual mastered music. I don't know, but that's pretty funny. I did not know this.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. The actual game, though, like we'll play a little bit. Listen to that crowd. Oh.
Look at that.
It's a little smoother too.
There is this more smoothing to it.
Yeah, it's definitely got a little bit of a little, you know, some of those sounds are the same, but it's closer.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure if that was the emulation they were doing or if it was the actual. I didn't know if they were capturing it directly. Hey, look up there. Did you see near the glass up there? I like in 94 that the little kid comes running down.
Oh, yeah, no, they load that. That's the other thing. The crowd's way more animated. Man,
it
was easily my favorite Sega CD game. And the funny thing is, it just graphically really didn't do much for it. But it added so much ambiance and sort of atmosphere. If I were EA, the version I would have put out for $10 and made available for free for Game Pass would have been the CD version. Because you're only talking like 150 meg instead of 10 meg or whatever. Like, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal.
I don't know, man. Because I would have loved that. I'll tell you, that full motion video. Now, if you're just listening, you didn't see the clip. It is bad. It is that early VCD, whatever that video CD thing was that we had. It was so compressed.
It was so bad. Sega CD was real. I mean, it was as good as we had, but it's what we had. But they could have done that in that version. I would have been happy with that. Or you know what? Just redo that intro. Whatever. I'm asking for a lot here.
I mean, I'm like, look, let me tell you something. If you search NHL 94 on the internet, you're going to find a lot of people who still love NHL 94. I think there's a case to be made that there is at least a market there. I don't know how big it is, though, but they're very vocal. They're very vocal.
They're super into it. Go to NHL94.com, everybody at home. It is a very active website, forum, organizing tool. Hey,
community.
Community is a good way. This is exactly the way to put it. It's a community of people that are so passionate about this game. And here's some upcoming stuff. For example, NHL 94 tournaments. You can find out where this stuff's happening. Oh, it won't load.
They took a 2-year hiatus because of the COVIDs. But yeah. They're back this year. I think in March is the next one, and we'll see if I watched some video of the two top players last time, and one of them took the crown, and so we're gonna find out if he takes the crown back again. What is this? Oh, Raf took the crown. He beat AJ in 2019 in the NHL 94.
That's amazing.
Win. And do you know how he won? One timer.
The one timers are the best. Oh, we haven't even talked about that. So let's talk about that. The gameplay innovation that makes the game so amazing. I mean, up to this point, we haven't really gotten into the grass of it. But that one thing is this one timer move, which in the real game is where you pass it down to somebody low, he's near the net, and as soon as you pass it to him, he's already in swing motion to hit it to make a shot. So there's no he gets it and then he makes a shot. His very next, contact with that puck is the shot. And the game, this was the first game to do it. All hockey games prior to this, they didn't have a mechanic for that I know of.
Some may call it a big old fat cheat.
Well, I mean, maybe, but the game is pretty good at making that happen. It doesn't happen every time you try it. And when it does, it feels amazing. And when it doesn't, you can't wait to try again.
That's why it is so good, because it is, like you said, it's very satisfying when you actually pull it off, and it's not super easy to do. Mm-mm. It sounds easy on paper, but it does take some timing. And that's one of the things, the one timer was one of the things that made me play so many different versions of this past week, trying to find the lowest input latency I could. And I eventually just decided to fire up my Model 2 Sega Genesis, throw the cart in there. And that was the way I was actually able to accomplish a one-timer. I couldn't do it through RetroArch on PC, using the emulator there, using that core. I tried it on the Anbernic. I couldn't get it there. And I even tried it on the Mister. I came pretty close to it. We talked about the Mister in the past as the FPGA. It's hardware emulator. It was pretty close. I didn't pull it off, but I felt like it was pretty close. Yeah, this game requires you. One of the things about this game is it requires such fast reflexes, right?
You
got to be on top of it.
Oh, big time. I just joined their Discord because I forgot they had one, and it's active. There's people in here right now talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're into it.
If you're out there and you need a friend, let me tell you, those guys are friendly. Also, how I first found that forum, which first wasn't very hard, it's not hidden. But I first found it because I was looking for it to see if anybody did a documentary, because that's like my favorite thing to do now, is to see if because there's a lot of new video game documentaries hitting the street. So back in 2018, I believe it was, there was a documentary that was made about this, and it all started on the forums, at least the discussion. I went back and read some of the first discussions about doing just that, making that. It's on YouTube right now.
Oh, I can watch this then, sale. I want to see
this. You can totally watch the documentary. He goes back and he talks to Michael Brook. That's the producer. Talks to Mark Lesser. That's who the lead designer of NHL 94.
Brook, by the way, co-founder of EA entirely.
He was a big whoop.
But there's like five people on the credits. That's what's nuts. That's what happened back then. You had one guy program it. You had a guy doing art. You had another guy doing testing. A music guy often. And then that's kind of it.
Yeah, you can't forget Jim Simmons, though, because Jim Simmons is the man.
Well, he is the man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely the man. Okay, so I was going to say something about the chat just said. Greg for Walkman, who frequently goes to the PAX East conference, they hold tournaments there all the time, this community. So if you've seen some of that there, you're looking at their handiwork. If they even have instructions on here how everyone's playing in smaller, non-live tournaments, just using the net play features built into RetroArch. So there's a bunch of that going on. Yeah. And they've got all kinds of instructions on how to do it with your Mac or your PC and what to download and how and how to play it and all that
schmear. I'm curious to the point that I want to join one of these just to see where they place me, just to see if I really am the worst NHL 94 player that has ever existed. I'm curious if I am the worst.
You might be the worst. You might be.
I very well could be the worst. I feel like it's one of those games. You ever get a game and you just never can quite get the mechanics down?
Yeah.
No matter how many times you play. I put in so many hours this past week of this game, and I just couldn't feel good about
it. We should try playing each other. I think you'd probably do fine. I'm pretty good at it, but I would happily be handed my crow to eat if somebody beat me and be fine.
Right, right.
I got it. Hey, why don't we? I'm just putting it out there into the ether, okay? This means we got to get some fan feedback on this. But I would love to do a Play Retro community, like a little mini tournament in this game.
Oh yeah, we could do that.
Oh.
What community leader wants to step up to get us prepared for the NHL 94?
Someone else, not me, because I don't have time.
Right, so I just want to show up and play the game.
I just want to play, and I want to place, and I want to see how I do, but I don't want to organize it. We'll pimp right. it. I mean, we'll talk about it every week, but
yeah,
I don't have time to organize it.
I want to continue to get better. I'm pretty sure this game has some staying power. I don't think it's going anywhere.
Oh, I think it's going to be around. When the company who made it can't even avoid putting a control scheme about it in their game and can't sell games without it, I think there's maybe a sign there. All right, check this out. Here's some NHL 94 Genesis gameplay, just for some comparison, all right? Here's some more audio. That's supposed to be an organ. Crusty, crusty crowd. Not good crowd.
It's supposed to be an organ.
This organ goes too long. Okay, oh, it's already a foul. Oh, no, someone scored early. That's what
score,
it was.
Score, yeah, goal.
Yeah, this is a game I captured, actually, when I scored really early. Now they're upset. Oh. They're upset because they got the face off.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you can, you know, that's your level of fidelity. Here's your Genesis, or sorry, your SNES gameplay. Much nicer.
Here we go.
Yeah. And that sounds like real hockey pucks.
Yeah.
You hear that? Another early score, by the way, I think.
It's deeper, Richard.
Yeah, score. That was me again.
How fast it-
I scored quick.
That is.
Oh, yeah, look at her into it. And that goes for a long time. I'll skip ahead here. Here we go. The crowd's a little quiet when they're not scoring.
Right.
Ooh, hit the side of the thing. So they, you know, sound-wise, 100% Nintendo's corner. No question.
Yeah. Nintendo. But
it didn't matter. Gameplay first. Gameplay first, man. All right. Now, just for fun, can I play a little Mutant League hockey sounds?
Oh my gosh, yes, because I was curious about this. I peeked in on Mutant League, but I didn't do a deep dive. So I was curious, did they recycle the sounds or how far did they get away from this source material?
So definitely the same engine, base engine. But they made a lot of changes, and I actually think it may be for the worse because playing it now, and I really loved it back in the day. I like both Mutant League football and hockey. The problem with these two games was I don't think they hold up visually at all. And I think in the hockey's case, at least there was some sort of a smoothness to the action in NHL 94, 96, 95, all those hockey games. This game is real herky-jerky kind of experience. The sprites aren't well animated. The flow down the ice just feels just chop. It's not great. I'll show the chat here in a second, but here's a little audio from that because I think the audio is great. So enjoy. Yeah, baby. Listen to that. And then this part.
That feels like Sega.
Look at this guy. That guy's the coach. He's the coach.
Is
of
that the coach?
Yeah. They have these disgusting coaches. And this is the actual gameplay here. Sounds all right. Yeah. And again, these are Genesis-only titles. They never made it to the SNES in this particular case. But I don't think they play as well. And that bummed me out because I was expecting or preparing for how, you know, for my nostalgia to match my memories. Right. And in this case, with 94, it does. With these, it didn't, unfortunately. The football better. Yeah. Better. It's better with football. This less so. And that's unfortunate. I really, really would like a modern take on NHL. Or, Mutant League Hockey. I'd play the hell out of that.
Can I dissent just a little bit? And this is a true dissent. This is not me just trying to be argumentative. I played 93 and 94.
Yeah.
And I absolutely see the love for 94.
Yeah.
But. Hear me out.
Go.
I really like the fighting in 93.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the fighting. So
I really like to fight. It's hockey.
They took it out of 94. There's a build of 94 where it was in, and there's video of that somewhere. Actually, we have that, don't we? Where is that?
Probably.
Poop. I can't find it. But basically, oh, here it is. Fighting video. Is this the one from that, though?
Oh, no. This is actually, I think it said you a fighting video. That's.
Oh, that is 93.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it is 93. That's what it looks like. If you play the video from 93, you'll see what the fights actually look like. And I hate that it's not in 94. I understand why it's not, because look at this. They threw the gloves down.
Yep.
They're fighting. You control this too, by the way.
Yeah, you're controlling the punches. You're trying to time it. I'm going to tell you, it's not very good. It's okay. It's not great.
No, but it's a fun little thing that makes it kind of feel like hockey. But what I'm really disappointed is there's not a whole bunch of teammates running in. They need to be doing that.
This was a time, I can tell you.
Look at this guy. He's got three guys in the box.
It's pretty great. Here's what it is, though. This is what the difference was. Back then, the NHL was trying very hard to improve their image, and they were trying to improve their image with kids. And part of that was, look, you can have the license, the player license and the league license, but you can't have fighting in your game. They would say, it's like car racing games. They tell the Gran Turismo people, you can have the Lexus, but you can't wreck it. Like, don't even dent it. Like, that's real. They won't let you do it. There's a reason. Everyone always wonders why Burnout Paradise and the Burnout games had fake branded cars in them. Well, that's because Burnout was all about crashing into oblivion, and none of those brands will let you. It's also very expensive, but to license that. But in this particular case, in 94, they're like, we're changing our image. It's not all about fights. And it's not. Hockey's not just fights. Hockey's a lot more than fights, and it's easy to think it's all fights because that's all anyone ever thinks about.
Well, absolutely, but it's kind of like how, and I know they don't do this intentionally, but it's kind of like NASCAR without wrecks. I mean, it's not like they need to do it, but NASCAR racing is not NASCAR racing without wrecks.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like so my personal opinion is let it stand there and let people turn it off. But again, they were making games for kids, you know.
Yeah.
Like the market's different then, just different. You can fight now. I was playing 22 the other day. Guess what? I can fight.
Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah, yeah. I would. They gave up on that little wish list. Yeah. I would say though that the thing that no one ever says is the reason why 94 is their favorite is the reason why 94 is my favorite. It's like any other sports game for me. I like the licensed stuff. If it's a remake of a professional sport, I want my team. Yeah. I want my logo.
Sure.
I want my players because I love following stats. Every bit of that comes with backstory. Like I follow football a lot, American football. And so I know a lot of the players and I know what, their story, their struggles. And I want to play that in a video game. And 94 was finally able to have both the teams and the players proper. And that to me is the biggest part for this, for me.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, a lot of people are going to agree with you. I tend technically agree with you, but I also really like stupid fake sports teams. I like the original
that too.
Yeah, the original Tecmo Bowl with all their fake teams. The
Bowl, yes.
The Mutant League stuff. There's other examples. And when the NFL lost its, or when the NFL exclusived their license in 2005 to EA, from then on, screw those guys. I was so pissed about that. And it killed all that competition. Like, the 2K games were so good. I was so mad about that.
Oh, I love the 2K games. We need to do a thing on that because it has a beginning, middle, and end.
I agree. And it bums me out.
Tell that story.
But they, when they did that, your only choice was to make a game that was goofy. Like, you had to you had to say, well, these are the welcome to the Arizona Dingleberries. And, they're fake teams. And I do kind of like that. you know?
Yeah. Well, if you like that, then you probably liked 93 because they had, well, it just mostly just did the city names. They didn't have the, they had the player, they had the NHL Players Association on board, but NHL proper was out in 93. So we didn't come back until later.
Well, here's another thing you probably never knew.
Give me something.
You know when video games are popular when they show up in movies and other media. And
yes.
Doom is famous for this. Lots of games make it into things. I remember, what was it in Breaking Bad? And I thought it was so weird. Such a weird... Oh, it was... what's the name of the kind of post-apocalyptic shooter that id made right before Carmack left?
Rage. No.
Rage, that's it.
Was Rage?
Rage 1 was in Jesse Pinkman's apartment when him and Skinny Pete and Badger are in there playing, and they were playing that.
Do I remember it? I don't know if I remember that.
Oh,
I totally blocked that out.
Yeah, you probably did. It's weird. It's weird because why? It's just weird. But anyway, whatever. And they were playing it on like a PlayStation, which it was never on the PlayStation.
Right.
It was really weird. Anyway, that happens a lot. And there's a movie, Swinger.
Swingers.
Yeah.
Is it Swingers?
It's Swingers.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think that's probably a typo in the show. I think it's Swingers.
Is it Swingers? Wait, that was the original. Is that the Barry Levinson movie?
No, you're right.
Maybe. I'm confusing it up now. But anyway, well, no, that wasn't 90s. That was 80s. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that it had a very young Vince Vaughn in there.
Right.
When I say young, he's my age, and I was younger then. Yes. Anyway. They showed that game, and he had lines about it in the movie. He said, all sort of, you know, like, isn't that when you know your game is cool, when some movie has like your game in it? That seems like,
yeah, there's like a whole scene of, you know, three guys playing this NHL. And this is the question mark for me. So I'll let you finish with your story, but there's a question mark on exactly which one they were playing. Mm. They say, because some things indicate that it's 94 and other things indicate that it's 93.
Well, so here's the deal. The director, Doug Liman. Oh, he directed Swingers?
Yeah.
Could have sworn that was
it, written
Barry
by
Levinson.
John Favreau, who's in the scene. You know that guy, right?
Am I thinking of Favreau?
Yeah.
I am thinking of Favreau. I thought Favreau directed that. I knew he wrote it. I thought he directed it too. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He said in a 2017 interview, the director, Liman, said, "I have never actually seen Wayne Gretzky draw blood, but Vince Vaughn claimed he could do it repeatedly, so we put it in the script. The actors are reacting to that, and then we edit the movie, and I bring the game console into the editing room, and we start playing it, and we're recording it onto some videotape so that when we get the one piece we need, we'll just play it back on the TV."
Oh,
and we shook it.
God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that happens a lot, mostly. I think that's mostly what we see in movies with video.
That would be the work. That's like shooting, like when somebody is shooting a basketball. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, God, the number of retakes. Oh, this would be a terrible way to have to play NHL 94, trying to make Wayne Gretzky head bleed on the word of Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
The question is, they mentioned during the scene, Vince Vaughn actually said they took out the fighting, and there's a whole conversation about that. They took out the fighting, which would have been in 94.
Would have been 94.
They're playing the SNES version, I think.
Okay.
And so I was like, all right,
even less likely to have fighting, by the way, because Nintendo was at stage where they weren't even they put sweat instead of blood in fighting games. So what do you expect from them?
Yeah. Right. Wang Gretzky ends up on the ground, and I'm like, can he bleed in that one? Because apparently, if you're two player and you're the other team, you're playing as Gretzky, and you don't move, I guess you could run him into the wall, because that's kind of what happened in the scene.
Sure, they faked all that up. I mean, they made it more than it is, which is what they often do at these games. What did we just see? Mars Attacks and those stupid light gun games.
Total bullshit. Light gun games.
Yeah,
that was great.
Total bullshit. Everything about that. But that's what you do. You make it work for your movie. It's fine.
But what a great movie in 1990. Well, not a great movie. What a great scene in a movie from 1996. Just a couple of years after NHL 94. That's how much of an impact it had on our popular culture during the time.
What do you think would happen if you walked up to who wrote it again? Now his name just left me. John Favreau. What if you walked up to John Favreau that week while they were making this film and you said, by the way, in 12 years, you'll direct Iron Man and start the MCU.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, you'll put on a good bit of weight and stop being so muscular and do a whole bunch of really creative stuff. Yeah. We love you.
You're going to change Star Wars forever.
He was
How does that feel?
Beast for a little while. I don't know if you remember him being in his beast mode, but he was a beast for a while.
He's a monster. I remember him being on Friends.
Yeah, he was going to be the ultimate fighting champion.
Yeah, it was a weird time. Different. He's a big feller now in a different, very different way.
Well, you know, he's life happens, man.
They weren't the only changes, though, to that game. It also included goalie control. This commercial we played at the top of the show played a little bit of this, but goalie control, variable player ratings for players on hot and cold streaks, one-timers, we talked about that, reverse angle replay, player profiles with 144 player pictures. They both had it, but Nintendo's looked a lot better.
they had colored pictures. The Genesis version was all black and white. I'm not sure about the CD, but the Genesis version.
Oh, yeah, I don't know on the CD. I doubt they changed it because that's a lot of assets to worry about.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, different team anyway. But let's see, new crowd animations, no fighting or blood.
Boo. And that's the thing. No fighting or blood. So I'm like, so they must have like went back. What's the rest of the story there? Because
weird, right? Two expansion teams, Anaheim and Florida. So they were added as well.
Yes.
Anyway, it's an amazing game, everybody. Y'all should play it. And you can play it. Well, let me tell you the ways you can play it, all right? So $10 will get you a copy on, I think that there's a PC version on EA Play and Game Pass, I think. I'm not sure about that.
EA Play definitely has the $9.99 if you just buy the game by itself or as part of the EA game.
Yeah, but is it on PC or no? Do you know?
I don't know about the PC part, but I would assume so because it didn't have any. See, not everything on the EA Play is on the Game Pass on the PC, but I think if you do EA Play directly.
I have no idea.
Good question.
No idea.
That's a good question.
It might be.
We're going to find out.
Definitely on Xbox consoles as an EA Play part of Game Pass or just buy it outright. I think PlayStation has it also to buy outright, as far as I know. Mm. I didn't check that, but I think it is. You can get the original cart like Brian's doing for your Genesis or SNES or CD. It's $10 to $30. Yeah. Buy it on eBay, places like that.
I was kind of shocked. It's fairly reasonable. If you just want just the cart itself, which is what I was looking at, but I got super lucky and somebody sent me the really nice one. But yeah, just the cart itself, $10 on eBay just about every day of the week.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, they're relatively easy to get. If you've got
they
the
made
base
a lot
hardware,
of those.
They sure did. Emulation, of course, is another way to do it. And the game's still awesome. And look, if you're thinking, I want a modern game, Scott, I don't want to look at old graphics, that's totally fine. I would actually recommend NHL 22 or 2022, because again, the control scheme in there is 94s and one timers still work. And all of that stuff is still part of the modern game today if you want it to be, plus all the extras. So I still think that's a good series. I mean, a lot of people don't love it right now, mainly because if you're a fan of the series, it hasn't changed a lot in the last 5 years. It kind of is samey, so you end up maybe updated rosters, but really kind of the same game. And is that worth $60 every year? Like, there's that complaint. Madden, same complaint. Like, this is not unusual for sports games, especially on it.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
By anyone.
Right, exactly. I would say, if a game, why don't they just do it? Why don't they just say, look, we're doing an updated roster this year. $20.
Yeah.
$20. It takes a lot of work to put all these stats together. We get it.
It's not even that hard. It's just data. Here's where it's harder.
But you got new players. You got to scan in.
Yeah. You have their whole the mocap and the faces. And that's different today, I guess, than it would be for the old stuff. But I don't know. I wish part of me wishes they would do more on that front. And sure, charge for it. That's fine.
Yeah,
but having to get a whole new game,
a certain amount.
Although this year is using the Frostbite engine, it's technically the first one that's Series S and X and PS5. Like, what's the word? It's for them.
God,
their next gen or whatever.
Yeah,
I can't think of the word. There's a word. Native. That's what I meant to say.
Native
to the new
go.
Consoles. Still play. They still have the older versions play as well. But it's the first year to do that. Yeah.
Right. No, I just had a nightmare thought, and it looks like the chat room had it too while he was talking. Microtransactions for each player that you want to add.
No,
I
don't.
Look forward to my 99 cents.
No, they already have enough of that shit in there. They better not do that.
EA has backed off on that stuff, so that's luckily that we're not heading that trajectory.
They have definitely backed off. And I can tell you that new game is just a big complete game. There's nothing weird about it. But people are people. But that Frostbite engine looked real nice. I can tell you that. My Xbox Series X is playing that game real good. And again, I could control it the way I did in 1994.
Yes.
So go check that
All
out.
All three buttons.
All right. That is going to do it for our coverage of that game. If you have any thoughts, feelings, or anything we missed or anything, tell us. Tell us via email. You can just send that in real simple to playretroshow@gmail.com. Time to do this.
Destroy it.
All right, Brian, we're going to play Guess Our Game. We take... Oh, shit.
I know. I didn't see your little thing. So maybe Scott's going to have to guess his game before he can. Before we can guess.
I'm going to guess my game real fast because I think I know what I'm going to do anyway. Hold on here. You're not going to get this one.
Oh, my
one.
God. That is hilarious. So you didn't guess my game at all this week.
No, I'm such an idiot.
You're going to do it on the fly. All right.
Here it is.
Great.
Here it is. Okay. So you're going to have a hard time with this one, I think, because
this
probably
is the Wii Store
it.
Music.
This is not it. No. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Guess my... Where is it? Guess my game. No, that's not it. Guess my game. Ah, it's a Nintendo DS eShop.
It's a Nintendo DS. It's called... Guess my game. It's called You Can't Get Any More Games.
Damn straight. All right. I'm ready on the tip here, though. I got this. So let's play right here. Your hint is arcade and console. And that's a hint because maybe... The company who made it had both of those things.
Because it may or may not be the arcade.
It may, well, I'll say the game was 96, or the year, sorry. It was in arcades, but it was also at home for a certain select bunch of people who had enough money to afford such things. That's a hint.
All right. Okay?
So here you go. Give it a second. I had to do this live here. Hold on. Okay, there we go. Here's some extra gameplay. Any guesses?
NHL 97.
Nope. Not a sports game at all. I can tell you that.
It sounds very bubbly.
It's pretty bubbly.
Makes me want to say bubble bobble or something.
Definitely not that. Definitely not Choplifter chat. Thanks, though, for saying it.
Oh, yeah. Think always got to do it.
So no guesses here, eh?
No, wait, what was that? Wait. Oh, now this is definitely feeling familiar. Wait, I know this.
Do you?
I don't know. I know it, but I don't know it.
All right, here we go.
What is it?
The game is 1996.
You're leaving my torture. Yes.
I love the... Yeah. Nothing?
I don't know.
Nothing?
I give.
Okay. It was
I surrender.
It was in the arcade. It was on the Neo Geo. Does that help you at all? Neo Geo?
Oh, okay. Neo Geo.
So you can get it at home. It was very expensive. It's cost you about $100.
Not really.
That thing was destined to fail. It was too expensive, but right. I love the games that were on it. All right. I will tell you now. The game is the game called Neo Mr. Do.
Oh, Mr. Do.
Mr. Do is this weird maze game where you like...
I remember Mr. Do, but Neo?
Do you remember? Well, Neo Geo. That's what that was about.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's basically this little clown guy you controlled. I remember playing this a couple of times. And your job was to clear stages. And those stages were like... Almost like you were... How do I explain it? Almost like Dig Dug, except you're above ground.
Yeah, this makes sense. I can see that. I never seen this or played this, but there's definitely some sound library stuff that's in something else because I definitely recognize some of that.
I just played it and then forgot to cap it because I'm an idiot.
It is absolutely Dig Dug, except is he mowing the grass?
Kinda.
And why is he freaking out right now when he made the goal?
He did drugs. He does drugs. I don't know.
And you played this game?
Look at this level here. I played it in arcades back in the day. So look at this. Well, look at him. Look what he's doing. He's picking up cherries. He's kind of mowing.
Much color.
Yeah, it's a lot. But that's what this device, that's what the Neo Geo is good at, is color and animation and just amazing 24-bit graphics. And it was a hell of a thing. See, look at that. You can kill stuff. So it's a little bit like those games where you had a mine. In the mine, you would drop stones to kill enemies. And then...
Yeah, it's totally Dig Dug. I mean, come on. This is...
It's Dig Dug mixed with Mr. or not Mr. Shit. Forgot the name of it.
Mr. Do?
There's a digging one that this just reminds me of. You're also trying to spell the word extra.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you get these extra stages, and then you can get more points, and it's really hard, dude, and I die a lot.
This is nightmare fuel. Let me tell you right now, this is the scariest game I have seen in forever. I couldn't play this. You say you played this?
Yeah, oh,
if,
yeah.
Look, if you don't like clowns, don't play this.
Oh, yeah.
And
if this you don't, got, oh, like, yeah.
This weird.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
No clowns if you want to if you want to live.
Crap.
Yeah. Come
no,
with me if
thank
you want to
you.
Live.
Cripes.
All right, Brian. I'd never.
Thanks for that.
There's no way you're ever going to get that. That's okay, though.
I had to look. It's fine because I was also looking up what I did because I could not remember for the life of me what I put in there.
Oh,
and
well,
so I got it. 1994.
All right. I'm going to play it. Hold on a second. I got to pull
because
it
it's
here.
The same year, Scott. You get it?
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I see what you're doing. Here we go.
Also, Electronic Arts.
Okay. Why isn't it playing? Oh. Electronic Arts.
Mm-hmm. EA. It's in the game.
Okay, this is Super Nintendo, because I can tell from the sound chip. It's not Comic Zone. Oh, that was Genesis, and that was not them. That was somebody else. That was Capcom.
Now, it was on the Genesis, this game. But was this that? Is the, you're right, it is the SNES version.
Yeah, the SNES version. I don't know. The fighting game?
Give it away?
I don't know. Is it? Will it give it away? Yes. Tell me.
It's a 2D fighting game for the Sega Genesis and the Super NES.
Okay.
It came out in 1994. Electronic Arts published it.
Yeah, I have no idea. You're going to have to tell me.
It is a little bit, in the chat room, got it, Shaq Fu.
Oh, Shaq freaking Fu. That shouldn't
Shaq
even have existed.
Shaq freaking Fu.
Such a dumb game.
This was before he was chopping up Papa John's pizza.
Yeah, that was a dumb game. I remember not thinking it was very good when I played it. I mean, people were stoked because it was Shaq, and it was like, oh, look, he's got his own game, and it's not normal, and it wasn't very good. It was bad.
But it was... maybe fun. I enjoyed picking this up out of the clearance bin. It gave me much pleasure that way. I full price, no.
You're not gonna pay $40 for that game.
If you paid $40 for that thing, you'd be a little bit upset. But don't forget,
yeah.
Don't forget there was an Indiegogo not that long ago for Shaq Fu, a legend reborn.
Did that work? Did that happen?
101% just barely made that goal.
Shut up. Someone's making this and Shaq is involved?
This is really old.
Oh, it's though, coming Scott. Out this spring. Like, hold
yeah,
on.
Yeah, they started it back in 2014, oh. So yes, it's finally making
I'm
it.
I'm sorry. It says it's coming out this spring, but this article is from 2018. Yep. I don't think this game came out.
It's
did
old.
Did it come out?
Yeah.
No.
It's been out.
Is it already out? It's a game
oh, yeah,
I can
man.
Play.
It came out that people played it, panned it, and have already moved on with life, Scott.
Okay, hold on. Here it is on Steam. I did not know this was a thing. Reviews are all right.
It's okay.
World in chaos. World's on the brink of disaster. Demonic celebrities have taken over the planet. Only one man can save us. A poor Chinese orphan named Shang Fei, or Shaq Fei. Hung. Our hero must travel to faraway locations to lay the smackdown on these pop culture icons bent on our destruction. Shaq Fu, a legend reborn. I think that means that Shaq's not in it. Right? Why would he be? Unless you're going to pay him.
I think he is. I mean, it's not like they did mocapture or nothing. It's actually, you know, a digital rendering of Shaq, right?
This review is bad. A $450,000 plus budget and 3 years of development for an okay 2 hour game? Sure.
that's pretty good. I mean, yeah, I think that's not too bad.
Look who you fight. Let's see. You fight people. They don't use their names because you get in trouble for that, but they're basically versions of Chris Brown, Donald Trump, Justin Bieber, Michael Moore. Yeah, this seems.
Just imagine, Scott. One day this will be retro too.
Yeah. There's a line here I love. The combat sucks, but it grows on you. What? What? That's stupid.
If you don't give up, it'll grow on you.
Well, a sequel to one of the most hated and universally panned games ever made. What could possibly go right? Well, as it turns out, a lot. This guy liked it.
Oh, all my right. God. There's a collector's edition that came with a yellow vinyl, came with a Wii version, an Xbox One version, a PS4 version, a book, a hat.
Yeah, well done.
Sign me up.
Yeah, don't sign me off. I don't want that. I don't want that game. Someone sends me a free one, I'll check it, but I ain't playing it very long. I won't give it the 2 hours. Sounds like crap. All right. That's it for Guess Our Game. Now this.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
I played a little bit of that today with my daughter. We played what's the game? What's the name of the damn game? Gauntlet 4. That's
Gauntlet?
What I played.
Oh, Gauntlet. Yeah. Gauntlet 4 is awesome.
It's okay. I think Gauntlet it's a thing of its time. And I don't know if it's great anymore. I think maybe we're past what Gauntlet did. I don't know. It's worth. We're going to do a whole show about it one day.
I was about to say, well, why don't we find out, Scott?
Yeah,
why don't
we'll find out.
Gauntlet episode.
I'm just not so sure the gameplay holds up as much as its inspiration does, because its inspiration went far and wide and like influenced a ton of what we play today. But
right,
oof, it was rough. Anyway, here's an email. This is a playretroshow@gmail.com sent to us by Chris. Chris says, hey, Scott and Brian, big fan of Play Retro, really into it or enjoying it. Just listened to this week's episode and guess my game was Jetpack on the ZX Spectrum. Spectrum was a really popular home computer in the UK, which went on to sell 5 million units. In the playground, you were either a Spectrum owner or a C64 owner. Plenty of arguments on which one was best. I remember all those fights.
Duh.
Just a bit of trivia. Jetpack was created by Ultimate Play the Game, which made some fantastic games by Tim and Chris Stampler and sold the company in the mid-80s when they went on to create Rare, which is still creating games today like Sea of Thieves. Cheers, Chris. I did not know that. Did not know
that. I didn't either. That's awesome.
Very cool.
But I must say, everybody knows that BASIC ran better on the C64. And what's up with that ZX keyboard? It's so small. And also, brown is the new black.
Yeah, I think it's a weird looking device. But obviously, and both these things, including the C64 follow up, Amiga series, those were huge in Europe. Huge.
Yeah, I love how the ZX Spectrum looks, though. It is badass in my opinion. Actually, the problem is it actually looks a little retro for his time, and so it actually almost looks kind of cooler now.
It looks like something that like Blade Runner would use to get some information, you know.
I like it.
It's pretty neat.
I wouldn't mind playing with one. I've never held one or played with one. I wouldn't mind if I can locate one.
But I
live in North America, so it's probably a lot harder.
I mean, they sold them here, they just weren't big here. Apple IIs and what was the other one? The Commodore 64.
Everybody Apple II, Commodore 64 was it.
Yeah. I think, and then I can't think of the other one. There's another computer that, Atari 800 series and the Tandy stuff. Yeah. Those were all doing well too.
Had a Radio Shack, you had a Tandy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm.
But the problem with the ZX Spectrum games, most of them just, I don't know, they're not good.
What is this? The Sinclair ZX Spectrum Vega Plus console?
What?
I'm on the Indiegogo again. Let's see how old this information is.
Oh, boy. Everyone's got an idea.
Right?
They all want to make you a thing.
Oh, they didn't make it.
Oh. Yeah, see? Well, ZX Spectrum again. Should have gone to Europe. Crowdfunding Europe, baby. Don't do it here. All right. There you have it. And that thing was all about keyboard control, right? There was no other way to do it.
Yeah. Actually, this did make it looks like. So somebody's doing a review back in 2020 of the Sinclair ZX Spectrum Vega Plus handheld. I'm kind of interested in this. What is this?
Vega Plus handheld.
Now you're a creditor. Oh, so it must have did.
Oh,
have
look at that controversy. Weird ass thing. It's actually kind of cool.
Oh, no. So it looks like some controversy here. People who pay for one of the infamous. Never good when they start with infamous. Spectrum Vega handheld game consoles are being urged to register themselves as creditors of the company.
So they never got it.
Liquidator is appointed.
So they never got it.
So I went from excitement to disappointment.
It's too bad. Wow. Oh, no. Nostalgia is a powerful drug, man.
It is.
Yep. A lot of people spent money and never saw a damn thing out of it. Nice job. All right. Nice. Thanks for that email. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. All right, we're going to get out of here. Before we do, though, a couple of quick things. We're going to talk about our next discussion. I feel pretty strong about this Bomberman conversation. I don't know if I can convince you or not.
You think Bomberman's the next thing?
It's up to you.
Bomberman?
It's up to you, man. You get to pick. I got to pick this 94 business. You get to pick one. What do you want to do?
The only thing that I'm really jonesing for, and I'll let the listening audience put in their two cents. We're never going to do what you tell us to do. But we do like to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
A couple of the ones we've looked at is DuckTales from 1989, woo-woo, NES, and Game Boy, developed by Mega Man 2 team and the first Disney Capcom NES-developed game. I would kind of take a deep dive, but I know it was probably a little young for Scott's
That's okay.
Age.
I like DuckTales. They're great.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I am all in on the Bomberman series for me.
Well, we're doing it no matter what.
You want to let us know what you think.
Just a question of which you'd rather hear first. And Brian and I will talk, in the meantime. But yeah. I have no problem with DuckTales.
I think we should lock in on Bomberman. I don't think Scott has ever gone wrong in his pickings. He has a very natural instinct for this.
Yeah.
And I'm on it.
I mean, I'm a very pickings kind of guy. I like to pick
things.
He
has an instinct.
Do I have one? Is that what I've got? Is that what that is?
Yes.
My wife and calls
we're definitely going to hit the Pac-Man fever sometime this year, but I want to wait until that new Pac-Man release comes out.
Yeah, we got to get that. Oh, that's a really good point. Yeah. We got to see how they do with that second run, because that first one was a bummer, and this one looks great. It looks like they're trying to make up for it, which I'm super thrilled about. So, yeah, don't worry. Pac-Man sure as hell's coming.
What do you know about Metal Gear Ghost Babel for the Game Boy Color? Because I want to do a.
I know a lot about the original NES Metal Gear games. I don't know much about the Game Boy game, though.
Well, guess what? It's nothing like that. Even though, wasn't the Game Boy Color just the NES in portable format?
No, it was different. It wasn't the same.
Which one was it though?
I mean, it was still game. It was basically Game Boy hardware with color. That's it.
Right.
So you were whatever kind of fidelity you got out of your Game Boy, you just were now getting it in color. And the games included color, content.
There's got color in this game.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I would play, I'm looking at this DuckTales game. I'd play this.
Yeah. There's a lot of good history around it.
Yeah, and if they made
game I enjoyed it.
If they also made Mega Man, then it's probably really hard.
Right. Exactly.
Mega Man's hard as shit. Oh, that's another one we got to do. We got to do Mega Man at some point. We got stuff, man. There's no end to the content we can create. And
I'm going to make us lock into Bomberman for next episode. So get ready. Bomberman coming to you.
Yeah, we got somebody who wants us to go way back into MMOs and talk about like early stuff like Ultima Online. We do MUDs and stuff. Sure. All of that.
Yeah.
All of it. So watch for that coming soon here on Play Retro. In the meantime, support us at patreon.com/playretro. We would love it if you did that, because that's how we, can pay for the show and also afford this horrible habit we have of getting old hardware and finding new ways of playing old content. That's patreon.com/playretro. Big, big, big thanks to everybody who already is. And if you want free content every week plus extras, that's the place to go. patreon.com/playretro. And once again, playretroshow@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. Brian, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, follow me through the week, twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. I play these retro games we're talking about.
Yeah, same. I played a bunch with my daughter today. We've been doing some competitive stuff. That's kind of where my thinking with the battle or where Bomberman came in. We have some other ideas coming up, so watch for that as well over at /frogpants on Twitch. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for watching, listening, or however you consume this content. We'll see you next time.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
You waxed your anus.
Uh-huh.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.